The Supreme Court affirms a standard. Material support for terrorists is a crime. Some Islamic charities may have a problem.
There's, all eyes are on the Muslim community. And I think our relief organizations, the ones that are left anyway, they are still around for a reason.
Azim Khan, who works with Islamic charities in North America, says one man's material support is another's terrorism. The High Court suggests material supporters of terrorism know who they are, and the government will eventually find them. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. We're thinking about what material support actually means this morning after that 6-3 Supreme Court decision. It's Tuesday, June 22nd.
And that's at the top of the news this morning. As the Supreme Court was weighing in on material support for terrorists, a report from the House of Representatives says the U.S. military is paying millions of dollars for safe passage of its supplies convoys in Afghanistan. Problem is, the report says, that money's going to Afghan warlords and sometimes the Taliban. Massachusetts Congressman John Tierney tells CBS News it's undermining the war.
U.S. taxpayer dollars are being used to fund warlords and other people that are fueling corruption in that government.
The report says the Defense Department is well aware of where the money's going.
So yesterday's Supreme Court ruling on material support, let's take a look at that. Earlier we spoke to David Cole, a Georgetown professor who challenged the law. He says the problem is the law is broad. It covers everything, even urging a terrorist group to simply lay down its arms.
They've left it so broad that very few people are going to engage in the kind of speech that our clients were seeking to engage in because they now risk going to jail for 15 years.
Since 2001, the government says it's arrested about 150 people under the 1996 law for violating the material support provision. Faisal Shahzad pled guilty yesterday to trying to explode a car bomb in Times Square last month. He also admitted to receiving terror training in Pakistan and warned that further attacks on the U.S. are coming. He faces life in prison when he's sentenced in October.
And we're expecting a ruling tomorrow on a challenge to the government's six-month moratorium on new deepwater drilling projects. The temporary ban is being challenged by the oil industry, and Gulf Coast residents are split. Corey Johnson lives in New Orleans.
We've got it figured out. It's simply following the existing rules, which BP broke many of them.
But fellow Big Easy resident Candy Ellison disagrees.
I think that the overall impact is much worse if we let this thing continue. If we let practices like this continue, we have laws that need to be obeyed and enforced.
Meanwhile, the government slapped BP and its partners with another bill for the oil leak yesterday, this one for $51 million and change.
President Obama is expected to warn health insurance companies today not to gouge customers before the health care overhaul bill takes effect. The White House is worried that insurers will raise premiums and then blame the new federal law. The first cabinet member is leaving the Obama White House. Budget Director Peter Orszag will reportedly resign in the coming weeks. He was one of the president's top lieutenants on both health care reform and the stimulus bill. And a new report says China will overtake the U.S. in manufacturing in 2013. That would end America's more than 100-year reign as the world's largest manufacturer. We still hold the top spot on producing hamburgers, however. Asian and European markets are down. Futures are down. The Dow gets underway at 10,442. The S&P opens at 1,113. And the NASDAQ starts trading at 2,289. Coming up this morning, our summer reading series continues with an author you might not know much about now, but by the end of the summer, you might learn more. His apocalyptic tale is burning up the publishing houses. Justin Cronin is author of The Passage. He joins us later this hour. Do you have a good book recommendation? Head to our site, thetakeaway.org, where we're compiling a listener beach reading list for the summer.
And in a few minutes, we turn to a very serious subject about the growing number of suicides among our armed forces. A close look at that issue in a moment.